the moment. Lots of news stories. What do you think the biggest issues are in plastic surgery at the moment?
Good morning. The biggest issues happened last week, which was the recommendations by the Royal College of Surgeons that there should be no advertising allowed, and that all people offering plastic surgery services should be registered, and they should be correctly trained, and that there should be some recourse to the law for patients having surgery.
And you believe that, presumably? You would advocate that too?
Well, I think that people are so vulnerable to the advertising that's available at the moment. And the other problem, I think, is that plastic surgery has been turned into a form of entertainment. And there are all these shows about 10 years younger, ducklings to swans and so on, and of course surgery abroad, which all give people such a false impression and unrealistic expectations that within the course of half an hour they see the whole process that may take months and think it makes one happy. And I think this idea that having plastic surgery makes one happy is a myth.
You don't like the term cosmetic surgery, well, certainly not in describing yourself, but what is the difference between cosmetic surgery and plastic surgery?
It's a very, very important definition that is got wrong so often. So what is cosmetics? Cosmetics is something that someone who looks normal puts on to look better. Uh-huh. And then that can be applied to surgery. Someone who looks normal wants to look better. So anybody who practices that type of surgery or who wants that type of surgery, it's cosmetic surgery.
Do you do that?
I do, but I'm trained as a plastic surgeon, and many, many surgeons who have not gone through a plastic surgery training, they may be general surgeons or any other type of surgeons, call themselves cosmetic surgery. Cosmetic surgeons, and the public don't know the difference, and they just think, well, if you want cosmetic surgery, anyone who's a cosmetic surgeon can do it.
But we've known that. We know there's wide variations in all aspects of medicine, not least sort of plastic stroke cosmetic surgery. So one of the key messages, I guess, is that if you're going to seek out any sort of procedure, you should go to someone who's a plastic surgeon rather than a cosmetic surgeon.
Well, people will think that I'm ploughing my own furrow because I'm a plastic surgeon. But, you know, there are other specialists who do carry out cosmetic surgery. But we believe that having gone through a plastic surgery training, we understand about wound healing, about scarring, about the psychological aspects, about the need for follow-up, patient expectations. We believe we are well placed to offer this type of surgery.
But also the need for informed consent. It's interesting you brought some of your consent forms in for me. And actually, they're pretty detailed. And people have to go through this and understand precisely, have to have realistic expectations of what the process can and can't achieve for them. Do you feel that doesn't always happen at the moment across the industry?
I think that it's become very commercial, over-commercialized, and this idea that people can win a procedure in a raffle, that they can have a two-for-one, that there's a time limit on having a procedure, that you have non-refundable deposits to pay, all of these things are for coercion. They are no good for the business.
And of course, we were called out badly by the breast implant scandal. There's been a number of cosmetic surgery scandals, but do you think that was avoidable? Was there someone, you can't always be entirely sure what people are putting in their implants and things, but do you think that the better regulation would have stopped that, or better consent, or was
Absolutely.
There any way?
Absolutely. The first thing I want to say is that we all know in life in general, one gets what one pays for. So the implants that created the problem were bargain basement implants. They were inferiorly managed, they were inferiorly regulated, but unfortunately they were used unscrupulously by people who wanted high profit margins.
But they were also used by the NHS. The NHS bought loads of them and put them into poor women who had mastectomies for breast cancer.
Money is always an issue, and it's about saving costs. But it's not to say that the best high quality implants aren't available and are used, and most NHS services have used them. And when going for this treatment privately, that patients must do their research well and ask what brand of implants is being used. And that can sometimes be the difference in the cost of the procedure.
It can do, but it's also the fact that these implants aren't tested prior to insertion. So it's slightly at a tangent. There's been a big scandal about a certain type of metal-on-metal hip implant, which was very new. It was top of the range. It was very expensive. The company had said, oh, it's been tested, but only tested in the lab. And then when it started failing, this was all covered up until finally the Joint Registry picked it up. So you can get something that's expensive and top of the range, but isn't tested in humans prior to use.
Absolutely.
So they probably...
But there is a wide range of prices of breast implants, just as there is a wide range of prices in cars. And if you buy an expensive car, there may be technical faults with it, but you know that you've got the brand, you've got the warranty, you've got the backup, and you've got the after-sale service. And that's really what I think cosmetic surgery is about. If people can understand that they're not buying a product, but they're buying a service, there's the before, the during, and the after, and that's what's important.
How do you feel about the culture? And I get this a bit in America sometimes. You go over there and cosmetic surgery is seen as a hallmark of somebody who's had money. You've got a certain amount of money. It's a badge. So you have a certain type of car or a certain type of house. And when you've done that, you have a certain amount of body work. And your breasts always look the same size. And women have genital cosmetic surgery, which is a huge thing. And it almost seems that the whole commoditization of women's bodies so that they all look similar. Men are trying to get bigger down below and women are trying to get smaller. As a woman, is there something that you find at all repellent about that? Or do you think, actually, if a person makes an informed choice, that's their individual right?
Well, there are a lot of questions rolled into one there.
Right.
I'm not sure where you'd like me to start. As a woman, I think that I see things just as any other surgeon does, but I'm aware that most surgeons are men and most patients are women. So people expect me to have a specific view on whether women should be having plastic surgery on their genitalia, or whether ultra, ultra large breasts that make women look vulgar are less acceptable than other type of breasts. So obviously, as a female, one brings specific views. Are women's bodies commoditized? Well, we know they are. And whether it's the fashion industry or the cosmetic industry or any other branch, we know that our society places a high value on being attractive. Plastic surgery in Brazil, in South America, is even bigger than in the United States. But people need to make informed choices, and they need to have the proper information and not be beguiled and influenced by advertising or commercial marketing and discount offers and time limits and things like that.
But isn't it interesting that you look absolutely fantastic and you've had no cosmetic surgery yourself? I mean, you've made that choice. It reminds me of a show I did for the BBC once about when they were doing laser eye surgery, and all the surgeons we interviewed wore glasses. And I thought, well, that's interesting, because they weren't sure long-term what it would be. I mean, you've made that choice yourself. But I guess what I'm saying is, if you think it's inappropriate for a woman, there are psychological issues that need working through, you will refuse to operate on some people, no matter how much money they offer to pay you.
Well, money never comes into it. People are always surprised when they learn that there are actually patients who I do turn down. So proper consultations, lengthy consultations with the person who's going to be doing the surgery, and more than one consultation is very important. Sometimes I see people three times. That's particularly important. One has to assess the reasons one's having surgery. I brought you the guidelines from the British Association of Aesthetic... These are all for you. These are the guidelines. Wow. And the important thing is to explain that people must be allowed to cancel their operation up until the time that they're about to go to sleep. Because when they're faced with actually, is this the right thing to do or not, people sometimes get cold feet and run. And they shouldn't be feeling that there's a financial penalty. You ask me about why I haven't had plastic surgery. It's not that I find it distasteful or I wouldn't have it, but let's touch on something very crucial and important. Plastic surgery doesn't make people happy. They have to be happy to begin with. And I think that the elixir of youth is happiness. Plastic surgery is just a catalyst to maybe feeling better, feeling more useful, feeling that one wants to carry on life in a particular way. But it's not a magic bullet for being happy, rich, famous, successful, sexy, glamorous, or any of those things.
But having said that, have you, on the positive note, have you had clients who really have had quite large transformational changes in their life as a result of having the surgery?
The most enormous transformation can come about from even changing the smallest feature. And it's important to judge psychologically whether a patient has realistic expectations, whether the surgery can deliver what they want. But this is what makes this the most incredibly satisfying job to have, and to be able to change people's lives with a stroke of a scalpel.
So the final thing, I guess, because we're coming up to the news, if people are thinking about having some sort of plastic surgery or cosmetic surgery, where would you say their first port of call for advice to find a good surgeon is?
Well, as I'm a member of the British Association of Aesthetic Plastic Surgeons, I would recommend people to go to our website first and foremost. But not all plastic surgeons belong to this website. So the other website is the British Association of Plastic Reconstructive and Aesthetic Surgeons, known as BAPRAS. The first one was BARPS. And to really just do their research very, very carefully.
Thank you, Lisa Sachs. Absolutely fascinating to have you on. Please come and see us again, because I'm sure this feature will be very, very popular, and it would be great to have you on again to talk to you in the future. Thank you for taking the time to come and see us. Coming up, more medical stories after the 11 o'clock news.